lesson? It was only 2 months ago. You with me? But he would do this, and I felt drawn back to this parable today with our scriptures that we have with fasting. If you have your fasting booklet, how many of you have read that, and you know what the scriptures are for this week coming? Amen. That's, the scriptures go good with what I taught, so I want to bounce off of that for this lesson. And this week's fasting thought for this week is simply preparation. Preparation. The last thing you want is to be in a fight and find yourself not prepared. To find yourself in a situation where you need something and you don't have it. A lot of times when we go on vacation, we'll pack extra stuff just in case because we want to be prepared. We don't want to find ourselves in a situation where it's raining and realizing, well, our umbrella is at home or our park is at home. You know, we should have brought it, but we weren't prepared. And so there are things we can do to be prepared. To go into a war or a battle and not be prepared for that war or battle is pretty much means certain death and a loss of that war. You don't bring a knife to a gunfight unless you're a really good and fast knife thrower. I've seen that before. You don't bring a football to a baseball game. It's not going to work. You can't play the game with that type of ball. After a fight with your spouse, you don't bring home a vacuum cleaner where roses are needed. Amen? You just don't do it. There's some things you don't want to do. So it is crucial to be prepared for whatever situation you might find yourself in. And in our fasting handout for this week, our first point of what you will see is know your enemy. You need to know your enemy. Know who you're fighting. Know who it is that is coming against you, who is trying to take you down. Amen. You want to know who they are. They always say, keep your friends close and keep your enemies closer. It's very true. Because if you don't know who your enemy is, and you don't know who it is that's coming after you, they're going to get the jump on you. They're going to surprise you. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So it is not likely that your enemy is going to loudly and publicly announce what their intentions are. The devil's not going to walk up to your doorstep and just knock on and say, hey, I just want to let you know today I'm going to tempt you with this, and I'm going to tempt you with that, and I'm going to try to trip you up over here on this, and I just want you to be aware of what I'm going to do because I want you to be prepared. He's not going to do that. He's sneaky. He's cunning. He's walking about, seeing who he can pounce on, who he can destroy. To give away the strategy would be a guaranteed defeat for the enemy. So he's not going to do that for us. The enemy wants to win. Is anybody surprised by that? He wants to win. He just doesn't want to show up and just half do something. No, he wants to win. He wants to destroy you. Since the beginning of time when he was cast to this earth and he lost everything that we're going to gain, he's mad. He's going to do everything he can to stop God's creation. Amen? It wants to be a surprise. The enemy wants the battle to be a surprise because he wants to back you into a corner. He wants to get you into a place where you're off balance, where you don't realize what's going on. And if he can catch you off guard, then strategically he has the advantage over you, if he can catch you in that moment. So be sober, be vigilant, the scripture says. I like the way the Message Bible breaks it down. It says, keep a cool head and stay alert. Keep a cool head and stay alert. What more can be said about that than in a battle? Because when you're fighting and when you're going through something and obstacles, the last thing you want to do is to lose your head. I mean, just think about situations in your life where you've been really stressed out, where just something's going on and you just have no way out. You just don't see. There's no way you can see over that mountain. There's no way you can see through that obstacle and you're just like, God, I have nothing. I don't know what to do. What do I do in that situation? And you can tend to lose it a little bit. You know, we've all said at one point in time, you know, I'm just one more thing away from losing my mind. I said that a bunch of times. Realized I could have went a little bit further. But I felt like it, man, something else happens, I'm going to lose my mind. I told a story before. I remember me and my wife, we was going through some stuff, and I was just having a horrible week, just one thing after another. And I woke up Sunday morning, I didn't want to come to church. I didn't even want to get out of bed. It's just, all I wanted to do was cry. And I said, if one more thing happens, I'm going to lose it. I can't take anything else. You know what happened? I was riding my motorcycle to the church that morning. I didn't even make it halfway to church. My motorcycle broke down. What do you do? I mean, get off, cuss, and scream? Or you lose your cool, lose your mind? Or, I mean, do you just take one step at a time? I found out I could take a little bit more when I didn't think I could. But you got to keep a cool head. You have to stay alert. If the enemy can get you frustrated to the point where you're not thinking straight, to the point where you're not looking ahead like you're supposed to, all you can see is the circumstances at your feet, he knows he's got you. He's got you confused. So we have to keep a cool head. We have to stay alert to what the enemy is doing in our lives. Amen? You're quiet on me. You have to know your enemy. You have to know your enemy. How many of you know who your enemy is? I'm not talking about your family members. They got some, but Albert Harper is pointing out himself. It's true. The worst enemy is the enemy in me. I am my worst enemy. I cause the most problems for myself, not the devil, me. I trip up myself more than the enemy trips up myself. I mess up my life more than the enemy messes up my life. My mouth messes up my life more than the enemy does. It's just a sad fact. You are your worst enemy. So one of the key strategies the enemy wants to accomplish is to get into your head. He wants to mess with your mind. And if he can get into your head, then the battle is half won. He knows he's halfway there. In medieval times, when the Northmen and the Vikings would invade a kingdom in a city, they had a strategy that they would do. See, when they would come into the area, they would come in at night and they would bring torches. The kingdoms and the castles and the cities, they would look at these Northmen, these Vikings, and they would look at the number of torches coming down the mountain or coming through the plain. They would count those torches. If they saw 200 torches, they said, okay, they have around 200 men. If they have 500 torches of what they counted, then they estimate they have around 500 men. That's how these kingdoms knew to prepare for the battle. They knew if there was 500 men, they would prepare with 600 men to counteract that 500. Whatever the number was, they would do that to prepare. But see, the enemies, the Vikings, they were smart, and they knew that's what they were doing. So instead of every man carrying a torch, every man just walking with one torch, they would only carry enough torches just to light their way. So instead of the 500 men carrying 500 torches, only 100 men would have torches. And so down the mountainside and through the valley, the kingdoms would only see 100 torches coming towards them. They think, oh, we got this battle. They only got 100 men. That's all they got. We can do this. We don't have to prepare for 500 men because they don't have 500 men. And so when the morning would come and the sun would rise over the land and the attack was on, those 100 torches have now turned into 800 men. And they would overwhelm those castles and those cities and destroy them because they're clever. See, our enemy is much like that. He knows different ways to trick us. He knows different ways to get us into a corner, and he's going to do whatever it takes to get us backed into that corner. He's going to try to mess up your mind. He's going to trick you. He's going to play games with you, and a lot of it's going to be strictly mind games. That's all it is. He's going to say, you're not where you're supposed to be. He's going to whisper that in your ear. He's going to tell you, you're not who you're supposed to be. You know you're not right with God. You know you don't pray like you should. You know you don't read the Bible like you should. You know you're not who you're supposed to be. You'll never amount to anything because you can't stop tripping up every day. You can't go a day without sinning, without messing up. Am I talking to anybody? Is this ringing a bell with anybody? This is what he does daily to us. He messes with you daily. He tells you you're not good enough. Amen? It's all mind games. He tells you you're worthless. You're worthless. But be sober, be vigilant, keep calm, be alert. We have to do that in order to win. Don't get frustrated. Don't get disappointed, but keep calm. Keep a steady watch over your life. Be ready for the mind games of the enemy. Be wise to them. See, if you go into a battle expecting the things that are going to happen, it's not going to be that bad when it happens. If you go into the enemy and you know they got archers on this side, and you know they're going to be shooting those arrows, what you do, you bring you a shield so you can protect yourself. If you know when you go over here, there's going to be water, and you have to cross that water to get over here, you bring a boat. You go prepared for the battle, prepared for what may lie ahead. Amen. So the first step is to be prepared, is to know your enemy. The second thing our fasting pamphlet it gives us for this week is we have to lay aside every weight. Lay aside every weight, not some, not just a few, not just pick and choose, go through your house and just say, oh yeah, I want to keep this and get rid of this. It says, lay aside every weight. Hebrews 12 and 1 and 2 says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And getting prepared for war, there are some things you have to leave behind in your life. This is where it gets hard. This is where the rubber starts meeting the road. This is where you start getting uncomfortable with what I'm saying, because we've got things we really don't want to let go of. Amen? I don't want to let go of my donuts. I'm struggling. It's real, people. But we have to let go of some things that we don't need. Amen? We got things in our life we really don't need. You only need to take what is necessary in your life. So when you go into a battlefield, you never see a soldier carrying a flat screen TV on his back, right? When he's going into the battlefield and running into war, you don't see something on his back like a rocking chair or a lazy boy recliner pulling behind him on a wagon. It's just not needed on the battlefield. You don't see him with a big cappuccino machine strapped to his chest. No, he's got the armored plate on his chest to protect him. There's things that he doesn't need. And so, like this, I'm not talking about preaching against TVs or having a lazy boy, because I have both and I love them both dearly, especially my lazy boy. It's good. But my point that I want to make is that we have to take a hard reality check in our life and see what is really important. What is really important in your daily walk with God? What is your priorities? What is important to you? Is church important to you? Is it important to be at church on Sundays and on Wednesdays? Is it important to be on time to church on Sundays and Wednesdays? Is it important to be in prayer when we have prayer? What is your priority? Or is your priority staying home, just being lazy, sitting on the couch, sipping on some tea? Just being real with you this morning. What's your priorities? This world's going to pass away and everything's going to end. So all the things that may be important to you, it doesn't really matter when it comes to the kingdom. Because heaven is what's really important. That needs to be our priority, our number one priority. What is your routines in your life? Do you have routines that you do that maybe you could change? Or maybe that you could get rid of, that you could draw closer to God? Are the things that you do constantly that you can maybe get rid of and maybe change a little bit to give more time to God in your routines? Come on, I'm just being real this morning. What about your belongings? Are there things in your house, things that you have that separate you from God? Are there things, belongings in your house that is more important to you than the house of God? The Bible calls those things idols. That's what it calls it. When you give more time to certain things at home than you do to God, it's called an idol. And so are there belongings that you have that maybe you could spend less time with, or maybe that you can get rid of to get closer to God? Come on, it's about the kingdom of God. It's about making it to heaven. There's nothing I want standing in the way of me and God. There's nothing I want in the way of me getting to heaven. Amen. So we got to have a hard reality check in our life to see what is really important to us. Is it really important? Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 21 says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, we're talking about those things, materialistic things, and not only materialistic, but just things at a heart that you love. What is your treasure? What is it? What is it that is important in your heart? Is it the things of this world, or is it the things of the kingdom? Amen. This whole fasting thing we're doing and the purpose of this year is for harvest. What is important to us? Our purpose this year is for a harvest. We are praying, we are fasting because we want to see revival in the city of Lakeland. We want to see God come down in this city and see the miraculous happen. We want to see these things. We just don't want to hear about it in Orlando. We don't want to hear about it in Miami or in some other city. We want to see that here in Lakeland. Amen? We want our treasure to be here, the kingdom to be here on this earth. Amen. Our number one goal is to make heaven our home. This world is going to pass away. So I ask you this morning, what are the things that are weighing you down? Just think about it in your head. What are the things that are weighing you down? While you're sitting here this morning, are you thinking about your checkbook? While you're sitting here this morning, are you thinking about what you have to do at work tomorrow? What you have to do this next week? Thinking about the stuff you can't eat this next week now, along with the caffeine and the sugar? What is weighing you down? What do you need to correct to get your mind right where it needs to be? What are you carrying around that is hindering your spiritual walk today that we need to lay down? Is it worth you not receiving a blessing? What you're thinking about, what you're dwelling on, the things that is bothering you right now in your mind and your spirit that seems so big, is it worth you not receiving a blessing? Or what about this, depending on what it is? Is it worth you spending eternity in the wrong place? That's a hard question right there. What's important to you right now, the things that you're doing, the places that you are, is it worth you missing eternity? It's a somber question, but it's a valid question that is very important. This race we are running is long and it is hard, no doubt. We have hard times, we have good times. We don't need to carry anything that is not necessary. If it's not necessary, we don't need it. It's just going to weigh us down. It's going to overwhelm us in the long run because it's going to get heavier and heavier. Amen. We want to cast off those burdens, cast off those heavy weights, and give them to God. Amen. We want to run and not be faint. And when we start to feel discouraged, we have to look to Jesus. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I know that when I'm discouraged, I know that when I am weak, if I can go to God, if I can get in His presence just for a few moments even, I know I'll feel strengthened. Amen. It feels good when you're fasting and you're weak and you come into prayer and you just get that little pick-me-up. You just get that little jump in your spirit. You know you can make it a couple more days because you got the spirit inside of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Perfect in weakness, his strength is made. Amen. At your weakest point, that's when his strength can come in and change you. At your weakest moment, when you don't think you can make it another step, when you don't think you can take one more thing without losing your mind, that's when God can step in and be like, I got you. You can make it a little bit longer. And I got any witnesses this morning? I know what it's like to depend fully on God. I know what it's like to see no way out and have nothing to look to because I can't see anything. I'm just overwhelmed, and all I can do is say, God, I'm trusting you. We have to be at that place. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 through 31. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall fall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not be faint. Amen. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I'm telling you, if you will give it to Jesus, if you will give it to God, if you'll just say, God, here it is. I need your strength. I need your help. You're not going to just walk. You're going to run. You're not just going to fly a little bit, but you're going to soar with the eagles. God says, I'm not just going to make you just to be good, but I'm going to make you great. Amen. I'm not trying to be a prosperity preacher, but I'm telling you that God will help you through whatever you're facing. It doesn't matter what it is. He's going to be there. The third thing on our fasting guide is going to be identify your weaknesses. Identify your weaknesses. How many of you can say you know what your weaknesses are? How many of you can say there's probably some you still haven't identified, but you want to? I got plenty of weaknesses. My wife could help you find them quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So the first step in recovery is what? Admitting you have a problem. Is there anybody here that can admit you have a problem? Amen. Some of us more than one. Got a bunch. But the first step in recovery is admitting that you have a problem. Seeing it with your own eyes and saying, I know I need help with this. I know this is something that I'm having trouble overcoming. This is a temptation that I'm struggling with. This is a problem that I keep tripping over every time I walk by it. We have these things, and we can admit to them, to ourselves. You don't need to go admit to everybody else. No one else needs to know your business. I don't want to know what your business is. I got enough of my own. Just give it to God. Amen? But those things that the Scripture says, the sins which doth so easily beset us. See, that's not talking about huge things. That's not talking about, it didn't say the huge sins, the big sins, those major things that keep destroying you. No. It's the sins that so easily beset us. It's those little things that just keep tripping you up. Sometimes that's the hardest thing. Because daily we beat up ourselves about the little things. Daily we beat up ourselves about the little problems. You know, I shouldn't have said that today, had the wrong attitude, you know, just little things that we do is sin, you know, you didn't go out and murder nobody, but it's the little things that trip us up. We all have hang-ups. If you're perfect, please let me know, I'd like to know your secret. But we all have hang-ups in our lives, we all have problems, we are not perfect. And the great thing about fasting is that we can starve this flesh, and when we starve this flesh, in turn, it brings the Spirit of God into subjection with our flesh. It brings us together, puts us on the same playing field. And when we can get in line with the Spirit of God, that's when we can overcome those things that so easily beset us. The things that so easily trip us up that we're just having a hard time with. The Spirit of God can help us. They don't seem like such a big deal then. Amen. How many of you already fasting, God has done some things in your heart, and you're just looking at your life and realize, you know what, that really wasn't that important. You know what? That really wasn't such a big deal because I know God's got it. Has that happened to anybody yet? God just spoke to you about some situations and told you it's going to be okay? And it's not as bad as it seemed. It's a little bit better. It's not such a big deal. See, when we bring our flesh and spirit in line with the Spirit of God, we have the strength and wisdom to overcome those things that trip us up and that have us bound. That's so many times people, they get into, what's the word I'm looking for? Just that they're constantly going over the same thing over and over time, repetitious. Yeah. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. We get into that pattern in our life and we're just constantly, every day, just falling over the same thing, tripping over the same thing, and we never give God really a chance. Not because we don't say, okay, God, I need you. No, because we never take the steps like fasting and prayer to allow Him to do it. See, it's a two-way street. In order for God to work, we have to work too. Faith without works is dead. You can have faith and not do anything towards it, and nothing's going to happen. But if you have faith, God, I know you can help me. God, I know you can give me strength. God, I know you can help me overcome this, but you don't do anything to implement that faith, what have you gained? You haven't got anything. and nothing's going to be fixed. So take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself. So take heed to the doctrine and continue in it. Amen. The Bible is declared to be the bread of life. Amen. We all know that from Sunday school. It is the bread of life. It is alive. We have to eat this word. We have to digest it inside of our heart. Amen. When we fast and we break down this flesh, we have to take this spiritual bread and we have to feed our flesh. Amen. If you're fasting and you're not feeding yourself, you're starving yourself. If you're fasting and you're not getting the word of God in you to supplement what you're taking out, you're just starving yourself. You're not gaining anything. Amen. The key to this scripture here is we have to continue in them. Continue in them. And unto the doctrine, continue in them. Our walk with God is not a once saved, always saved relationship. Amen. It's a daily walk. It's a daily struggle of the flesh. It's a daily chance for me to either draw closer to God or to walk away and get further away from God. That's my choice. No one else's. I have that choice to do that. It's a daily commitment that I have to make to serve Him and to draw closer to Him. So we need a daily checkup from the neck up, you could say. You ever heard that? Just a checkup from the neck up. Your head, just, you got to have it. And we've also heard an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Well, Patrick's book says this, a spiritual checkup today will keep your behind out of hell for another day. Can't be more plain than that. What you do today is going to affect tomorrow. The decisions you make right now today is going to affect you tomorrow and this week. What you're doing in fasting and prayer in this month is going to affect the rest of this year. Amen. It's about our choices. What choices are you making? Are we making the right choices that's going to affect our tomorrow? Amen. I know I want to be blessed tomorrow, so therefore I'm going to do something today to make sure I'm blessed tomorrow. Amen. But wait, there's more. I sound like an infomercial there. You ever heard that? OxyClean. But wait, there's more. You can have salvation today, but wait, there's more. Sorry, rabbit. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing so, this shall both save thyself and them that hear thee. And being prepared for what the enemy is throwing at you, you will not only save yourself, but the scripture says you will save those around you. So how does that work? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. It's a secret. Are you ready? You ready? It's a secret. It's going to blow your mind. People are watching you. People are watching you. How am I going to save other people? Well, people are watching you. Everywhere you go, someone's watching you. Everything you do, someone's watching you, watching what you do. Everything you say, someone is watching you. Amen? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little hands, what you do. But we're not talking about not only God seeing, we're talking about the world seeing you. We're talking about your children seeing you. Amen? Your life, your daily walk is the biggest testimony you have. It's the biggest outreach device you can give. Amen. Your walk with God daily. Whether you're trying or not, your daily life is a witness to the world around us. Are you showing Jesus in your attitude when you're on the job? When you're frustrated on the job and you just got a deadline and they just upped your deadline and you just don't know how you're going to make it, what's your attitude? Your coworkers are watching you. When you get that customer that's just driving you crazy and they're cussing and screaming at you on the phone, someone's watching you. What's your attitude? What does it show? Someone's paying attention to you. When you're at the grocery store checking out and the cashier just honestly does not know 2 + 2, what's your attitude? Do you smile at them? It's okay, honey. It's okay. Is that, what's your problem? Did you graduate high school? I mean, what's... Someone's watching you. Someone's behind you in line. Whoever's bagging your groceries, someone is paying attention to your actions. Amen? They're watching you. Men, are you a light in the darkness on your jobs to the other men around you? I just say that because I'm over to men, so I'm talking to you directly. Are you being the man that you need to be? Someone's watching you. Are you being a husband that you're supposed to be? Your coworkers are watching you. When you're talking with the guys at the water cooler, are you appropriate in your speech? Someone's watching you. Your life is your biggest witness. Galatians 5 and 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." Amen. These are traits of a Christian. These are things that we have to give daily, that we have to show daily in our life. If you're not showing these things, then what are you doing? We have to be able to do these things. I'm not saying we're always going to be perfect. You're not always going to have the right words to say. You're not always going to say the right thing, and your temper's not always going to be the right thing. If you don't believe that, hang around me for a little bit. I will prove it to you. My temper's not always the best, and I don't always say the right thing. Amen? Anybody else? Am I the only one? We have to have these traits. We have to strive. And by fasting and prayer, we're getting rid of our flesh, and we're letting our flesh die. And by getting this word in us, that this joy, love, peace, long-suffering, we're getting those traits developed inside of us so we can use them. Amen. It's like muscles. We're working them out so we have them when we need them. If you're not getting that stuff and working it inside of you, you're not going to be able to pull from it when you need it. When you need that strength, when you need to keep your mind calm and keep cool and stay alert, you're not going to be able to pull from those things if you've never got it in you in the first place. Amen? So I'm going to get myself to heaven. That's my goal. But the last thing I want to do is stand before God and explain to Him why someone else didn't come to church because of me. I don't want to have to explain to God why the sinner came to church, or he came to me and he was hungry for the bread of life. He was hungry for something sweet, something that would fill him. But instead of giving him that bread of life, I forced bitter, moldy attitude bread down his throat. And he left with a bad taste. I don't want that on me. I don't want that responsibility saying, "God, I just had a bad day that day. I'm sorry." Well, your bad day could have cost someone else. God could have sent that person to you that day for that purpose, for you to witness to them, and instead you push them away. I don't want to be standing before God and have to explain that. Absolutely not. But people are watching you. They're looking at your direction. And if you're not prepared, the cost could be more than you want to pay. It could be more than you're prepared to pay. The cost could. So we have to be ready at all times. You have to know your enemy and be wise to his tricks and plans. Amen? We have to examine our lives and make sure we are not trying to carry too much in our life. We need to lay down the things that we don't need and lay down the things that so easily weigh us down, and so that we may run this race faster and be steady to the end. See, Paul paints a pretty picture when he talks about the race and when he talks about us running. But see, when you're running a race, and we got some people who's done some marathons here, who's done some runs, you don't want to start off carrying a heavy load. As I had Brother Jesse come up a couple times and carry some things. Not Harley, not Jesse, sorry. See, I haven't had my donut this week, man. My mind's not right. I can't think straight, no sugar. But I had Harley come up here, and he held that water pitcher. Y'all remember that? He was good, looking good for the first 5 minutes. I mean, he's looking good. Nice, strong arm. Doing good. But after about 10 minutes, you start seeing his eyes start twitch a little bit. You start seeing get just a little bit, just his smile wasn't a smile like it used to be. And then finally, after about 15 minutes, you saw that arm start to droop a little bit. It got heavier, and then finally he's like, "All right, are we done yet?" See, that's the way it is in our lives. We got to run this race, but if you got something that you're carrying that you don't need, that is not needed in your life, it is not important, and you're trying to carry that to the finish line, it's going to end up weighing you down to the point where, it slows you down, or one, you don't even finish the race. We have to get those things, those burdens that are on us. And I don't know what is on your life today, but I'm telling you, you have to get it off. You have to lay it down. You cannot carry it on your own. You have to give it to Jesus. Because if you do not give it to God, the point is going to come where you're going to have to pay the cost. Are you going to be slow and you're not going to finish the race when you're supposed to? Or are you going to fall on your face and you're not going to complete the race at all? Come on, I'm talking about heaven here. I'm talking about sins. I'm talking about things in your life that shouldn't be. There's some things we got to lay aside to make it to heaven. There's some things we got to make in our mind and decisions we got to make to say, God, heaven is my home and it's going to be the place where I go. Amen? Do you want to make it to heaven today? We have to examine every area of our life to make sure we are correct in everything, to make sure we are doing the right things. Amen. Let's not just save ourselves and get ourselves to heaven, but let's take someone with us. Amen. Let's take someone with us. The harvest is here. God is going to do amazing things in this city and in our lives, but He needs us to go out there and work the harvest. Amen. Every farmer, he has a farm, he has land, he has fruit, he has things out there that need to be gathered, but you have to take the harvesters out there to go get them. Amen. We are the harvesters. God is calling you today to bring the harvest. God is calling you today to be His hands, to be His feet, to be a witness to this city. Amen. But we have to be where we need to be in order to do what we need to do. Let's keep the main thing, to God, let's keep it in our heart. Amen. Stand with me.